It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
And now, here's that man with all the wisdom of bygone ages, Mr. Know-It-All.
Thank you, and hello, used wisdom lovers everywhere.
Time to talk some more conference changes, so come fly with me.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me, let's fly away.
As college sports fans try to determine the winners and losers in this latest round of college conference chess, the airline business is going to be very happy, as some conferences like the Big Ten and Big 12 are literally expanding from coast to coast. Additional flights are going to be needed to carry college sports teams to far-flung future destinations. In case you haven't noticed, major college athletic programs on the West Coast have been in full panic mode recently. For those teams, it's all about the money and remaining relevant within the American sports and television landscape. Now, my last story, which was before my recent vacation, came about the destruction of the Pack Your Bags 12 conference, and it's proven to be pretty doggone accurate. Score one for your old Swami there. The long-awaited and much-ballyhooed new Pac-12 conference TV deal was finally announced last week. The offer came with a guarantee of at least $20 million annually for each Pac-12 school. And though that value was reasonable, it was the name of the new TV partner which raised the eyebrows. For most Americans, Apple TV Plus is not exactly your go-to television destination when you're looking for college sports. The athletes themselves want their games to be seen by as many people as possible, too. Apple's newly proposed TV deal for the Pac-12 conference was, well, pardon my pun, a rotten idea. The online subscription service has more than 25 million worldwide subscribers, though, and adding the remaining Pac-12 conference members to a long-term sports deal would help them build more subscribers for Apple TV+. Most U.S. college athletics fans, though, are unlikely to pay an extra $6.99 a month for the privilege of just watching West Coast sports. The nine remaining Pac-12 conference members yawned at the Apple TV deal last week, so five of them bolted for the Big Ten and Big 12 conferences in the last week. So the Pac-12 conference is effectively dead. Which schools left the Pac-12 conference and where did they go? Before we cover the remaining four teams that are left, yes, just four, it's wise for us to show the villains who have precipitated the demise of the Pac-12 conference. Back about a year ago in June of 2022, it was USC and UCLA announcing they were leaving for the Big Ten conference beginning in 2024. And then just last month in July of 2023, the third team to bolt was Colorado. They are going to join the Big 12 conference in 2024. And then just last week on August 4th, two deals happened. Oregon and Washington proclaimed that they are going to join the Big 10 conference in 2024, while Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah are going to join Colorado in the Big 12 in 2024. So that's eight teams out of the 12 which have left the Pac-12 conference, leaving just four teams.
Go!
And what's going to happen to those four remaining Pac-12 schools? Well, let's talk about them. Washington State. The Cougars are the least desirable of this group, as the school is located in Pullman, Washington, on the eastern side of the state. It's actually closer to Idaho than Seattle. And the Spokane TV market, the closest one, is ranked number 75 in the U.S. Then there's Oregon State. The Beavers could be in a similar boat, though, as Wazoo. Oregon State is located in Corvallis. That's about halfway between the number 22 U.S. TV market in Portland and the number 119 TV market in Eugene, Oregon. With a current enrollment of 35,000 students, Oregon State, though, does bring a slightly better TV profile than Washington State. Then there's Stanford is still remaining. This private school has a rich academic tradition with an enrollment of only 16,000 students. Stanford's located, though, in Palo Alto, California, which is considered on the fringe of the number 6 TV market in the country, San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose. The Cardinals alumni group has collected an astounding $38 billion in endowments, and they rank only behind Harvard and Yale. That school has plenty of money to do whatever they want to do. And then there's California Berkeley campus. also located within the number 6 San Francisco TV market, public school Cal Berkeley is generally not known for its prowess in national sports. With nearly 50,000 students, though, this huge public university has a very large national alumni group. Though the Mountain West Conference would welcome all 4 of these remaining schools from the Pac-12, it's Stanford in California, which have been knocking on the door of the Atlantic Coast Conference during the past week. The ACC? Yep. The Atlantic Coast Conference has been the hot topic this week after the Pac-12's demise. Florida State University has long been one of the top TV draws in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the Seminoles recently advised the ACC that they think they deserve a greater share of the conference TV pie than the lesser-known members such as Boston College and Pitt and Syracuse. In a recent year, Florida State claimed that they appeared more times on television and thus produced about 15% of the conference television revenues. Since the ACC, though, splits all its TV revenues equally across all of the schools, Florida State's share is just 7% of the pie. The ACC's current television package with ESPN, which lasts through, are you ready, 2036, pays for each member institution about $25 million per year. The SEC and the Big Ten schools, though, are going to earn more than double that amount with their lucrative new TV deals. I think Florida State is actually making a valid point here. If Florida State and Clemson, Miami, and Duke, for example, appear on ESPN the most during a 12-month period, why shouldn't they receive some type of financial bonus based on their annual performance? So let's suppose that the ACC were to pay, let's say, 50% of their TV revenue as a baseline to each and every school. The other 50% of that TV money could be allocated among the teams based on a formula, with football getting the highest weighting, involving the most TV appearances that happened during the last year. So in that manner, Florida State could theoretically, let's say, earn up to $30 to $35 million in a year if they have a great football, basketball, and baseball team within a season. Likewise, bottom feeder like Boston College, which finished last in the ACC in football last year, would receive its baseline amount of, let's say, $12.5 million, plus a smaller appearance fee. They might end up making something like $15 or $20 million in the same season. Right now, Florida State is going to huff and puff and threaten to jump ship to either the SEC or the Big Ten. And if they do, though, the current ACC rules are going to require the Seminoles to write a very large exit check estimated at a whopping $120 million.
Excellent.
This issue isn't just about Florida State either. Some other ACC member schools have started to whine about the allocation of the TV money as well. 6 other conference stalwarts, Virginia and Virginia Tech, North Carolina and North Carolina State, Clemson and Miami of Florida, are all contemplating legal measures trying to lower the ACC's exorbitant exit fees and/or renegotiate their methodology of splitting up the TV revenues. The Atlantic Coast Conference has an August 15th deadline, that's next week, for any member school to notify the league if they want to leave prior to 2024. At that big of an exit fee, I wouldn't look for it, at least this year. Meanwhile, reports have surfaced this week that Pac-12, minus 8, holdovers Stanford and Cal Berkeley have met with the Atlantic Coast Conference representatives about possibly joining the conference. Now wait a minute, the Atlantic Coast Conference and the 2 schools on the Pacific Coast? The good news for the other 14 ACC members is that any newly admitted teams will not be shrinking the current TV pie. Apparently, the ACC's current deal with ESPN requires the broadcaster to ante up extra money to give to any new members the same dollar amount as the current schools are receiving. So the more obvious question should be, why in the world would the ACC want either of those 2 West Coast teams? The ACC already has a rather lengthy 1,500-mile maximum traveling distance between Boston College at the northern tip of the conference and Miami of Florida down at the southern end. If the league was expanded to add these 2 San Francisco area teams, every ACC conference school would need to fly about 3,000 miles to the west to play their games on the West Coast. Only ESPN would even care about adding the San Francisco TV market. Making the ACC teams travel from coast to coast puts an incredible amount of additional and unnecessary new stresses on the student athletes. Let's not forget them. And perhaps the league might contemplate changing their name to something more appropriate. Let's call them the A&P Conference. Yeah, if you didn't get that joke, go look it up. So finally, What's this rumor we're hearing about SMU joining the ACC as well? Southern Methodist University feels left out right now. The Dallas-based private school with an enrollment of about 13,000 students is not happy that their I-45 rival to the south, the University of Houston, is going to begin playing football in the Big 12 Conference in just a few weeks. For those who live outside of Texas, Dallas and Houston have their own Texas-sized rivalry in just about everything. And after years of being slighted by the Big 12, the Houston Cougars finally received their call-up to move into the Big 12 after Texas and OU went to the SEC beginning in 2024. That left Dallas-based SMU in the lesser-appreciated American Athletic Conference, the AAC. Well, SMU's wealthy alumni backers are not happy with being left behind. They want to go play with the big boys too. If this happens to sound a bit familiar, it should, because SMU was the school which was given the NCAA's infamous death penalty beginning in 1987 for numerous violations relating to, get ready, overzealous boosters.
Yes!
The school was eventually, over a long time, able to work its way back into major college sports in the next decade. For the Atlantic Coast Conference, the SMU Mustangs would bring the number 5 ranked TV market in Dallas-Fort Worth into the league. With Dallas in the central time zone, games against the ACC's eastern time zone schools would not present a big disruption. And the air travel to Texas would add some extra cost for the member schools, but not nearly as much as if the ACC were to add the former Pac-12 schools we just discussed. One report recently indicated that SMU would need to pay its current conference, the AAC, a $10 million exit fee and provide them with 24 months of notice. Southern Methodist University seems to have an ample supply of donor cash on hand, though, that can help resolve any issues related to payments to exit the American Athletic Conference. So, in conclusion, let's do some predictions. If, for some reason, the ACC decides to add two of the former Pac-12 schools in Stanford and Cal by the end of next week, I fully expect that SMU is going to buy its way into the league as well, and ESPN will be grinning from ear to ear. As for Florida State, the Seminoles have always wanted to play in the SEC against their longtime rival, the University of Florida Gators. But I just can't see FSU paying the Atlantic Coast Conference an exit fee of $120 million anytime soon. If the Seminoles and several of the other ACC schools can get the league to agree on a revised revenue-sharing concept, maybe similar to the one I just proposed earlier, Florida State is going to come out a winner. And that leaves Washington State and Oregon State. Guys, you should go ahead and plan a move to the Mountain West Conference beginning in 2024. And now you're going to learn how Louisiana Tech feels. I'm Swamp Swami.
Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It is perfect for a flying honeymoon. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away.